and so reads the Word of God. And Father, I just ask that you give us each understanding as we look into this familiar story, and may we be given the the courage and the grace to apply it to our own lives as much as we would like to see it applied to other people's lives, both within this fellowship and within our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, of course, my Bible says that this is the parable of the sower, but it's actually the parable of the grounds, because it's the grounds that are so very different, and it's the ground that has an effect on how much fruit comes from that same batch of seed. Now, I'm sure you've been down to Cadbury Garden Centre, and you've got very over-enthusiastic as you've seen those lovely pictures on the front of the seed packets. Perfect flowers, and they've been sown at exactly the right time. They've had exactly the right circumstances, and so those flowers grow. Has anyone else's flowers not looked quite like that when they've come? Yes, it's discouraging. And the problem is, it's so easy to forget last year's lesson. When we go to Cadbury this year, we still see those flower packets with such beautiful colours on them, and we say, yes, I've got to have some of that. And so we find that gardening is not quite as easy as we once thought it was. But a vast crowd had gathered, and there was upset in some people's minds, of course, and we only have to go back to Matthew 12 to see an example of the upset. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing the wrong thing. It's unlawful to do this on the Sabbath. And Jesus realized that it was one of many arguments that he would have with the religious authorities. And so he elected to speak to them in parables. We'll hear the voice of an angel momentarily to explain what this parable means, and Elizabeth will read, and her angelic voice will come out through the chapel. Here we go.
But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
So, That portion of scripture refers to what was in Jesus' mind when he was sharing the initial parable. And of course, it doesn't take a great deal of imagination to realize what would have happened if he had spoken that story to them. They would have immediately reacted and all sorts of negativity, and there would have been a lynching mob there. And so Jesus chooses to speak in parables, which, as I was told at primary school, were earthly stories with heavenly meanings. But I'd just like to have a little bit of a look at the sorts of grounds that are described here. Let's start off with the paths. Everybody needs a path in life, and they're busy places, and folk are perhaps going from home to work. They're already at work, and they're going from one place to another. They could be going to see relatives. They could be just out for a gentle afternoon stroll. And as every farmer knows, when paths go through gateways, they can get very muddy, and you need to empty a bit of hardcore onto that path so that feet don't sort of sink in, whether they be the feet of the flock of animals that you happen to have, or people who are walking through there. So paths have got their good points, and you know, sometimes farmers decide, well, I've got all these small pastures and I'd really like to rationalize them. And if we were living in East Anglia, the fields wouldn't be 2 or 3 acres or 10 or 20 acres. They'd be, I don't know, 100 acres. And these great big massive machines go through them. And it's no use having a tree in the middle or a path in the middle. You've got to deal with that land and turn it into productive pasture land. And of course, rocky places, they were really on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And the thing is about the area around the sea was that it was a bit like going for a walk on the top of Burrington Coombe. There were rocks poking up through the soil, and you know, I suppose some people would be told, well, yes, you can have this little area, it's about 6 foot square, but you can grow things in it, and if you were lucky, there was a bit of decent soil, and if you wasn't, it wasn't very fortunate, it was just shallow and whatever. But the thing is, with rocks, they can take the warmth of the sun, and sometimes when you're out on your mountaineering trip, you can put your hand on a rock and it feels wonderfully warm. And that warmth is just the thing to bring on the germination of the seed. And it will help that seed to germinate quickly. But the problem is, if the water supply is in any way compromised, if you haven't got just the right amount of water to get those pictures that the seed packets have on them, that seed, which has germinated so easily, is not going to grow on towards fruitfulness. And so the rocky places could be good, could be bad, but in general, if you haven't got enough depth underneath the soil for the roots to do their hidden things, you're not going to get good plants, you're not going to get good fruit. And the thorny areas, I've been doing some weeding this last week. We can grow nettles like you have never seen nettles. 6 inches above the ground, 6 foot of root beneath the ground. The good thing about nettles is once you've got your gloves on and your gauntlets, you can pull them up and you pull them up, and it really is a big, long root system. And the problem is about a big, long root system is that that is taking any nourishment out of the soil that you might want for your wheat or whatever, or your new plants to grow. So it's you just have to get them out. And with the path, when you're going to turn the path into something useful, sometimes you have to get a breaking bar in there and get the stones and the rocks out from underneath. And so the good soil, that had been prepared, that had had somebody's spade or fork in it, and that had been turned over, and the most serious gardeners do double digging. You don't just dig it once, one depth of the spade, you dig it twice. I don't know whether anybody's ever done that. Have you done that, Pauline? You're a gardener. You're smarter than you look, aren't you? Yeah, great, wonderful. I've gone into that no digging thing, but I grow too many nettles for it to be a total success. But it's a great thing, the no digging. You put compost on the top and it works. But the good soil, even that which had been prepared and dug and had the rocks taken out, that produced different quantities of crop, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so when you look at land, it can be very, very different. In fact, it's not so different to the average congregation who comes week by week and listens to the sort of stuff that's spoken in these sermons. And you know, if you started off as a path and you were in the middle of lots of busyness, it's not always comfortable having somebody dig you up and turn you over and get these lumps of rock out that have been hidden for years. But you know, God wants us to be fruitful in our lives. He wants us to hear these words and build on the truths that are hidden within them. And that's why he speaks to us in parables. He doesn't just want to stand on the table and point at us and tell us what our faults are. He wants to give us opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I want to respond to you and I want to be fruitful. And if there's stuff within me that may be hidden from the general public, as it were, then will you deal with it for me in Jesus' name? And we have a loving, generous, kind, gracious God who is never going to overwhelm us with the stuff that has to be sorted out in us. He takes us gently along a path to begin with, but then he says, now is the time for you to receive a bit more of my truth that's going to equip you for next week's challenges, for next year's challenges, and the year after that. And so we go on to the explanation of what that parable means. And I'm going to be reading from verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. Now, it could be that it's that feeling of sleep that comes over you when somebody is preaching. You know, I know you may not be very good at sleeping all night these days, but my gosh, a miracle happens when you come to church. That wonderful, warm feeling of sleep, and you're not really, your head hasn't dropped yet, but you're feeling very mellow and sleepy, and that's great. But and so what was preached has been snatched away from you, and the seeds sown along the path, that sown in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, roots are about going deep into hidden places and getting lots of sustenance and minerals and food. We talk about nitrogen for growing the green bits of plants. We talk about potash for producing the fruit. We talk about phosphate for strengthening the roots of a plant. And we all need roots in our Christian faith. It's great to have 10 minutes of sermon, but we need to deal with the roots. Where are our roots? We need fellowship. We need to be basing our life not just on skimming the surface of Christian things. God wants us to understand deeper truths, some things that are hidden from public view. He needs us to know that he's willing to deal with us in a way that's kind and gentle and gracious, but in a way that changes us for the better so that we can bear fruit. And what happens when you don't have root? When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And it's one of the saddest things, isn't it, that with our children, it's pretty straightforward for children to come to church with their parents while they're at primary school. They perhaps haven't quite got the argumentative skills yet to say, no, I'm not coming, I don't want to know anything like that. They come because mum and dad come. And what happens, typically, there's a great falling off as the teenage years go by. And as these little people develop their own personalities, so some of them decide that faith and church is not for them. And we find that society is full up with young people who don't know where they're going. They've been assaulted in a variety of ways, and it just leads to unhappiness. And it was all because they only had such shallow roots when they were learning about spiritual things. So if there's anything we can pray, we should pray that our youngsters will be given deep roots as to the things of God when they're in their lessons, when they are talking about church, when they hear you talking about church, when they see you reading your Bibles. That just pray that your children will have an appetite for the things of God. I can only say in my own weakness that with our family, they both responded. Our son was 4.5 when he says, yes, I want to be born again. I want to go on with Jesus. He's now 47, something like that. And his life is too busy to attend church, very respectful of the stuff that mum and dad do. Our daughter is 45, and she goes on with God, and she regularly attends church, and but you've perhaps got stories like that yourselves. They, children brought up in the same circumstances, different outcomes. And we realize that just because parents are Christians, it doesn't mean that every member of the family will become a Christian. But and what is sown among thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. And so we've got battles to fight, haven't we, when the word of God is sown. We have to pray it home that those truths may be ever relevant in people's hearts and minds. But what was sown on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop. And you know, some of those crops don't always germinate in immediately. You'll know that some seeds have to be sown this year, and they will produce fruit next year. Some will be sown this spring and will produce flowers this summer. And that's the difference with the rich variety of seeds. Some of those seeds from the apples, whether they're from the rotten bits or from the happy bits, it'll take 5, 6, maybe 10 years before a decent apple is produced from that seed. But that's no matter. The truth is there. And so it is with us as hearers of the word of God. Some things have to be planted and have to remain seemingly dormant for 5, 10, maybe more years. But it's in God's heart that every seed that's sown will eventually produce fruit. It's in his heart that we shouldn't just work ourselves, grind ourselves to the bone with busyness of Christian activity, but that we should bear fruit in his purposes. Tom and Alicia were Georgiana's parents. They must have asked all sorts of difficult questions. Why is our darling little girl suffering as she is? There we are. Well done, Rod and Jackie. The fire alarm is getting the better of us. And sometimes as Christians, when we know we've had our roots dealt with, when we know we've got roots deep into good soil, there are still challenges that come our way. And it's why we need fellowship of Christian believers to bring us encouragement. But Jesus spoke to them in parables, and he speaks to us in parables. And I do hope that this story of the grounds will help you to assess where you're at in your Christian life, in your Christian walk before God, and make a decision that you want to bear fruit, you want to bear 30, 60, 100-fold fruit, because it's God's way that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. May God add his blessing to his word. And so